Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good to be here. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to realize that God has redeemed us, and that He brought us here, that He put it in our hearts even to respond. Praise our God. We are a privileged people. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to have His way. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to serve Him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we have this great and wonderful privilege, oh Lord, of opening up Thy Word and knowing, oh Lord, that You speak to us through the pages of Thy Word. Oh God, we thank You, oh God, that You made it possible that we could respond to You in our hearts. Oh Lord Jesus, oh God, we know that it takes You to change us and to alter us and to make us fit to meet You, Lord, to be a participant in Thy kingdom, Lord. Now I pray, oh God, that You'd help us, Lord, as pilgrims and strangers in this world. I pray that You'd help us here tonight, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd draw us close to You. And oh God, I pray that You'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, to comprehend the things that You would have us to know. And oh God, the preparedness that we need to prepare, oh Lord, to be right in Your sight, Lord. Oh God, to do the things that please Thee. Oh God, we just ask that You touch. Oh, that You would move. You know every need, oh God. You know every burden. Oh God, I ask, oh Lord, that Diane wouldn't have trouble with her pipes, Lord. And oh God, that You'd help her, Lord, this cold weather. Oh God, we all need You, Lord. And we just pray, oh God, oh Lord Jesus, that You'd work out every situation. That You'd keep us in the way, Lord. That You'd give us that strength that we need from You. That health that we need from You. That vigor that we need from You, Lord. Oh, that enthusiasm that comes from You, Jesus. Oh God, I pray that You'd quicken our hearts. To make us alive in You here tonight. Pray that You draw us close to You, Lord. And oh God, I pray that You'd use this word. Oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, God, I give it to You and ask, oh Lord, You to take it. Oh God, oh Lord, that You'd work this out. Oh God, that it would be from heaven. Oh God, Your words of life. And we thank You, Jesus. We ask that You'd meet every need. Oh Lord, that You talk to every heart. Help us, Lord, in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is good. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. It is cold again, but we're here gathered tonight. Amen, in spite of it. And I thank God, you know, that Sunday where we just couldn't come, the weather, the snow, and everything else. And you know, it's like you miss something that you love. And, you know, it's such a blessing to gather, to be with God's people, and to be able to open up the words of life and to sing those praises. Oh, God can do wonderful things when our hearts dwell on the kingdom of God, when, you know, our mind is set upon the things above and not on the things of this earth. Praise the Lord, our God is so able to move the mountains that come in our way and try to disrupt us and hinder us and, you know, cause unbelief and whatever all the devil can do through some of his attempts to bring about spoilage. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. And we are so privileged to be able to come here, to open up His Word, to be edified in the Scripture, and to think upon the good things of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, A Man After God's Own Heart. Praise the Lord. And I know we're all probably knowing the scripture reference in this matter, but you know, we all want to be an individual, a person after God's own heart. Amen. We want to please the Lord, and we want to hear Him say, well done. We want to become acceptable in His sight so that when we stand before Him, there's nothing, oh yes, that would cause us to not enter in to the place that the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are very privileged here tonight. Oh, you know, it just takes a lot. There are so many disruptions in this world and distractions and things that, you know, come in the way. And, you know, you might be on a set course, you think, and then something comes and then, you know, suddenly it's interrupted. And you know, you got to take care of some other little business or a thing that, you know, seems to come into the picture. But praise the Lord, I'm so thankful. We want our hearts to be set upon the Lord, you know, in such a way that, you know, that's where our hearts are. And that's where our minds are, that we're dwelling on the good things of God. And, you know, the scripture is in front of us. You know, it's really lovely when you wake up and there's a scripture there. You know, that's my favorite way to wake up. You know, or a song of praise or something, you know, that comes from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's just, you know, wonderful. And right away, you know, the Lord is there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A man after God's own heart. Let's go to Acts, the 13th chapter here and read a little bit. Praise the Lord. We have Paul making an address here. He's in Antioch of Pisidia in this. And let's just read a bit of this, what he has to say here. Tells us in Acts chapter 13, verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And praise the Lord, you know, it just seems to me, I know Moses had a big assignment as he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness. And you know, even God had, you know, quite, you know, the thing to try to, you know, work through these people who were so obstinate and so disobedient and so full of disbelief. You know, what an assignment all the way around. And so it says again in verse 18, in about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Oh my, very hard to bear, obviously. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to lot by them. Yeah, finally they got in, didn't they? And yes, finally it was time when they had conquered enough of their enemies that they could go in and divide the land by lots. And so it was. God allowed it. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop there. But, you know, God in his wonderful plan brought forth a king, David by name, whom he could say was a man after his own heart. And I hope tonight in this little study that maybe we can see some of the reasons why God could say that about David. You know, there would have to be reasons. We know that David didn't do everything perfect. He had failures. You know, he had acts that you don't even want to talk about. But praise the Lord, there was something in David that still was the right response in his relationship to God. Praise the Lord, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Oh yes. So let's just look into what we can here tonight and see what the Lord will show us. Let's now turn to 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And as we know, just there in Acts 13, Paul was giving a little bit of history there to those that were assembled there at Antioch, at Pisidia. But here, you know, we're going through some of it here. We've got Saul, who's king at this moment in this 13th chapter. And he's not been king very long. But anyway, we've got an occurrence that's beginning. We look at verse 5. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Wow, it just seemed like there were so many Philistines that, you know, and plus all their chariots and their horsemen and all, you know, that obviously Israel had gone into a stage of fright here. And, you know, instead of leadership encouraging them and telling them it's going to be okay and, you know, the Lord's going to deliver you, seems that they were very distressed in this time. And yes, as verse 6 has told us, the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and pits, wherever they could find some kind of place that looked somewhat like a refuge, where they thought they wouldn't be discovered, they could hide. Then verse 7 tells us, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So what does Saul do? It tells us in verse 9, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering because Samuel hadn't come when he expected him to come. Saul took things into his own hands, and he had his servants bring him a burnt offering and, you know, a peace offering and all of that. And he began to offer those sacrifices. Verse 10 tells us, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not with the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. So here, again, we said he took things into his own hands. And you know, the wording he uses here is he said he forced himself. You know, he felt like he had to do it. It was going to get done if he didn't do it, obviously, he thought. But he was getting ahead of God. Oh, you know, there are times that we need to wait on God. There's a time to go forward, but Boy, we want to make sure that it's God's timing. We don't want to dash ahead and do something before it's God's time. This is what Saul had done. Besides, it was not his to make those sacrifices. He was doing the role of a priest, and that was not allowed. So he's in trouble. He's in trouble with God at this moment. So Samuel tells him in verse 13, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.'" Oh my, what hard words to hear. And yes, Samuel was telling Saul that if he would have listened and obeyed, that the kingdom, his dynasty, I guess you could say, would have continued, that, you know, God would have raised up his sons to rule after his time. But because of his attitude, his spirit, his disobedience, God took the kingdom away from Saul and had sought for a man after his own heart, a man that would be captain over God's people. And that privilege was to be taken away from Saul. So that's how it went there in that 13th chapter of 1 Samuel. And we know that just down the road a little bit, in the 16th chapter, we have Samuel coming to the household of Jesse, because God had told him to do that. And there he was to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king. And we know that story. Jesse had 8 sons. And you know, the 7 that were there with him all passed by Samuel, and none of them were God's anointed. And of course, you know, Samuel wondered, you know, this is what God told me to do, and yet none of these fit God's approval. And so he did ask Jesse, verse 11 here in the 16th chapter, are here all thy children? And he, Jesse, said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And praise the Lord, it says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, that's a very sorry condition that we find Saul in, because of his disobedience. That spirit that he had within, God was no longer going to deal with him and talk to him and use him. Oh, that Spirit of the Lord. And he had been anointed. The Spirit of God had come upon Saul. But very sad to say, at this time it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, from Saul. And God allowed an evil spirit to come and trouble him. Oh, how careful we must be We always want to do the things that please the Lord to the best of our ability. And if we do slip up and make a mistake, oh my, we want to have a heart that is contrite and willing to acknowledge that situation and give it over to the Lord in repentance and turn away. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. And we find that that was the kind of man that David was, and God could use him. We know as the book of 1 Samuel continues that, you know, we have that wonderful feat that David accomplished there in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, where David defeated the Philistines by killing their champion, Goliath. And praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing that was. And we know that when David did it, he knew it wasn't by his strength or his might or his intellect. It wasn't that at all. He knew it was because God was with him. And God was able to take that slingshot and that stone that was in that little slingshot and direct it accordingly. And praise the Lord, we know that's exactly what happened. That giant, that Goliath, came out and threatened them and, you know, bragged and boasted and, you know, defied God in every way that he could. But David was able to come to him and say, verse 45 in the 17th chapter, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Praise the Lord. I love that faith. I love that positive confession that David was able to declare with faith. You know, oh yes, that giant, that Goliath had, oh yes, come. And he had cursed David by his gods and boasted that he was going to give David's flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. But praise the Lord, David knew his God. Praise the Lord, and he was able to come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, declaring that God would that very day deliver that giant into their hands, and that he would be smitten, and that, yeah, the carcasses of the Philistines would be given, oh yes, to the wild beasts of the earth, to the fowls of the air, oh yes, that they might know that there is a God in Israel, and yes, oh, the army of the Israelites, that they might know also that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. David knew his God. And praise the Lord, I believe that God had prepared David, you know, because he was a shepherd and he was a diligent shepherd. We know, as he told Saul, that, you know, he kept his father's sheep and a lion came forth and took a lamb out of the flock. And another instance, it was a bear that came and took a lamb out of the flock. But David, through the strength of the Lord, went out after that lion and that bear and was able to smite them and deliver that lamb that was in that creature's mouth. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, he knew it was the Lord that had aided him, that had given him that ability. Oh yes, that had given him even that courage to go forth and do such a feat. Praise the Lord. And David knew because the Lord had been with him in those instances that God would be with him in this matter of this uncircumcised Philistine who came, oh yes, defying them and bragging and boasting of his own power and might. Praise the Lord. And yes, we know David put his hand in his bag. He took thence a stone and slung it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Praise the Lord. Verse 49 it was. And it says in verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And praise the Lord, Israel pursued them, and oh yes, God gave them the victory. Praise the Lord. The Israelites had the victory. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's our mighty God. Praise the Lord. But as time went on, Saul became very jealous of this which David had been able to do. And, you know, the Israelite individuals were rejoicing that they had had victory over the Philistines and all. And there was a song that, you know, the woman would sing as you know, they were rejoicing. And they would say, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And, you know, I imagine, you know, they said it a good many times, you know, and, you know, it wasn't meant to be, you know, negative towards Saul, but that's the way he took it, because somebody had had, you know, more victory than he had. So it tells us in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel that Saul became very wroth, and that saying displeased him. And, you know, he said, verse 8, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And it tells us in verse 9, and saw I David from that day and forward. Oh, that spirit of jealousy overwhelmed and took over there in Saul's life. And oh my, one event led to another. And before we know it, we're realizing that Saul wants to kill David. And he's making all kinds of efforts to do so. It tells us before this 18th chapter ends that he tries in that chapter to state that you know, he desires to see David fall. And there's something else that he knows. He knows that the Lord was with David. And oh my, we never want to leave the Lord. We never want to lose his fellowship. It's such a wonderful thing that he has called unto us, and that he has filled us with his Spirit when he filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that we can have that wonderful fellowship with the Lord. Oh, it is something that we never want to lose. But Saul lost it, and that is so very sad and distressing. And it tells us in that 18th chapter that Saul became the more afraid of David, and he became David's enemy continually. And by the 19th chapter, he's making efforts to kill him. And we find that there was another war fought again another war with the Philistines. If we look at 1 Samuel 19 and verse 8 tells us, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and they and slew them with great slaughter, and they fled from him. And this, you know, is more than Saul can stand, it seems. It says in verse 9, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. David would play the harp, and he had been doing this for some time to help Saul's spirit to be appeased to bring peace in Saul's heart. But Saul isn't at peace at this moment at all. No, he's so full of hatred and anger and a desire to get rid of David that it tells us in verse 10, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But David, slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So yes, it becomes quite a flight that David has to take. And you know, if we can imagine the circumstances, Saul sent messengers to David's house to try to fetch him. And you know, Michal, his wife, David's wife, knew of the plot, and you know, had David get out of there to flee, and she put some kind of an image in the bed to make it look like David was in bed, and you know, a pillow of goat's hair to make it look authentic. And he told the messengers of Saul that David was sick. But oh yes, Saul is so full of hatred that even if he was sick, he wanted him dead. And so we see that doesn't happen because David has made his escape. But that's just, you know, a part of the adventure that goes forth. David fled and escaped. He went to Samuel in Ramah, and he told Saul what had been done. And lo and behold, you know, he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And there, Saul sends messengers to Naoth. And it's just one thing after the other, but you know, it's to no avail on their part. You know, God causes those messengers to prophesy. It's an amazing story. And then even Saul comes to pursue him. And God causes Saul to prophesy. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord is with us. Indeed, we know if God be for us, who can be against us? And in these experiences that David went through, we see that God was with him. And through all these moments, God made a way of escape. Praise the Lord. Even though Saul had such a jealous hatred in his heart that, you know, he kept trying and trying, you know, if one thing didn't work, he went for another thing. And so it is. And we realize David and Saul's son Jonathan became very close. They loved each other. It was a wonderful relationship between them. God had put that within them. And they made a covenant between themselves. And Jonathan was very disturbed because of his father's hatred and attitude toward David. And, you know, it came to be that time that, you know, it had to be discovered what was going on. And, you know, there was this time period. It was the first of a new moon. It was another month, in other words, and usually David would have come and sat with them at the time of the meal. But on this occasion, he and Jonathan had considered the matter, and Jonathan was going to investigate his father's heart as best he could to determine what was going on and what they could expect. And so they determined that, you know, if Saul said something because David wasn't there, then, you know, they would have to consider what to do next. And indeed, it happened that time that it was time for meat, and the place where David usually sat was empty. There was no one there. David wasn't there. The first day, Saul didn't say anything. But on the second day, he inquires where the son of Jesse is. You know, why isn't he here to have meat with us? And why didn't he come yesterday? And so Jonathan responded, and this is in the 20th chapter of 1 Samuel, verse 28. It says, "And Jonathan answered Saul, 'David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for a family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table.'" And this is the reaction, and this is what Jonathan wanted to discover, where his father's heart was. Oh, this is the reaction that Saul had. Verse 30 here, 1 Samuel 20, tells us, "Then Samuel's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, 'Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion? And unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die.'" Oh, and Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay him. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And they had agreed that, you know, once Jonathan knew how his father was thinking, that they would then convert together and determine what was to be done next. And you know, they had this plan that David would wait in a field, and, you know, Jonathan would have arrows, and he would shoot them forth, and there would be a little lad that would be with him to fetch the arrows that he would shoot. And there was a code that Jonathan and David had given. And, you know, if things were well, then it would be one way. But if things were not well, then it was determined that Jonathan would declare after the lad that would gather the arrows to make speed, haste, and stay not. And indeed, Jonathan shot forth the arrows, and he cried after the lad, this code that they had determined, "Make speed, haste, stay not," verse 38. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, "Go carry them to the city." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of his place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace. Forasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Chapter 21 tells us what happened next. After this event, then, it tells us that David went to Nob. Nob was a place where Ahimelech the priest was. And, you know, at first when Ahimelech sees David, he's afraid. He doesn't know why this strange meeting and why he was alone and all of that. And, you know, David said that the king had commanded him on a business and has said unto him, let no man know anything in the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. And then he requested of Ahimelech that, you know, he would be given 5 loaves of bread or whatever was present. And, of course, you know, this was a place where the showbread was kept, and that was the only bread they had. But in this circumstance, Ahimelech did feel that he could give it to David. And Jesus even made mention of it later, that, you know, it was approved of under these circumstances. And then, you know, David needed a sword or some kind of instrument here to defend himself. And you know, there was only one sword that was there with Ahimelech, and that was the sword of Goliath. And therefore, Ahimelech gave it to David, and David was glad to have it. You know, he said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Praise the Lord. But after these events, after David was there with Ahimelech there, the priest, he arose, it tells us in verse 10 here of 1 Samuel chapter 21, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And you can imagine these circumstances. There's so much to relay in all of this, and I realize I'm just trying to summarize it best as I can in a short time here. But you can imagine how hard this is for David. You know, there had been that great victory not that much time before all of this, when Goliath had been slain, and, you know, God had used David mightily. But not down the road too long, it seems that everything had changed. And, you know, here is David. He's literally fleeing for his life. And it would be a long term that he would be, you know, on the run from Saul. But here in this 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, we find that David, for fear of Saul, went actually to the Philistines. And you know, I don't know. It's just that you had to go somewhere, and I guess this is what came to mind. So it tells us again, verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And I'm not sure, you know, Achish, you know, maybe didn't realize who David was and what he had done and how, you know, he'd been used mightily to kill many, many Philistines. But the servants of Achish are just a little more keen in this matter. So it tells us in verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, unto the king, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And obviously, what the servants were relaying to the king of the Philistines here, the king of Gath, you know, was made known to David. So it tells us in verse 12, and David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Here he was literally in the camp of the enemy. And now, what is he going to do? You know, he'd come there as a, you know, looking for a place of safety and, you know, hoping that somehow it would be such. But it wasn't working. It was made known to them who he was, that he was the one that the people had declared had slain his 10,000s. So now what is he going to do? And you know, we don't have a whole lot of indicators here in this scriptural reference right here. But you can imagine all the thoughts, all the fears, all the wonders that went through David's mind in this case. And all at once he realizes, oh, they know who I am. What am I going to do? Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm sure there was a cry that was in his heart. Oh, a desperate cry. He had a need. He was in the enemy's camp. And oh my, they could do what they would do. Here he was, you know, outnumbered and just there. So it came to him, obviously, as it tells us in verse 13, to change his behavior before them. And he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He was acting like a madman, like an insane man. He was scrabbling on the doors. That means he was scraping against the doors with his fingernails. And he's letting the spittle, as it declares here in this chapter, fall down his beard. And, just like he was somebody very stupid, somebody who had no intelligence at all. And it's an amazing thing, because Achish, the king of Gath, says in verse 14, "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" You know, what a plan. Who'd ever want to go through all of that? Would want to, pretend that you were insane and just, crazy, a madman. But the Lord used this, and David was able to escape out of this situation, this very dire situation. And as I've said, it doesn't tell us all that was going through his mind at that point. But there are some places in the scripture that we can look to realize some of the inward battle that David was facing in this situation. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34, a very beloved portion of scripture. But we call this message, "A Man After God's Own Heart." And I think when we read this portion of scripture, this is a psalm of David, and this is supposedly written or recorded, however he did this, after his experience there with Achish, there with this king of Gath, the Philistine king here. And you can imagine, like we said, there was way more to the story than we read there in 1 Samuel. But praise the Lord delivered him mightily. And as we look at this chapter, we'll see some of the thoughts, I believe, that went through David's mind. And as he rejoiced and was thanking the Lord and appreciating the wonderful deliverance, oh yes, these are words that came to David. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 1 here in Psalms 34. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Already, there is a lot to consider right here You know, oh yes, we know that we are to offer the sacrifices of praise continually, as it tells us in Hebrews, that 13th chapter and verse 15. Oh yes, which is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Those are sacrifices of praise. And you know, there's such a need. If we can only learn to praise the Lord, even when it seems like everything is against us, or we might be sick, we might be sick unto death, we might be in the enemy's camp, such as was David. You know, there might be all kinds of things going on. It might look like we have no finances, no way to pay our bills, no food in the cupboard, nothing in the refrigerator. But oh my, the wonderful things that can happen when, in spite of everything that seems so wrong, which seems so negative, if we can praise the Lord, if we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. And I believe David learned how to do that. Oh yes, we read of experience after experience where, you know, he had to flee and circumstances were against us. Or excuse me, against him at that point. But you know, he never let it bring him down. He had something so deep within that God could see and God could bless in spite of everything else that seemed like it was wrong. And as I said earlier, there were even times that, you know, David did things that were in opposition to God. But yet, because of David's willingness to repent and to turn it over to the Lord and to have a contrite heart, a heart that was repentant, God forgave him. Praise the Lord. After that incident with Bathsheba and all that followed, you know, it took Nathan the prophet to come to him and tell that story so that, you know, David would see what he had done and realize the great need to turn it over to the Lord in repentance. And oh yes, to be sorry for the terrible distress and things that he had caused. Oh yes, the terrible sin that he went through because of things that he wasn't able to withstand at that moment. But yet God pardoned him. He took that sin from him. And in here, David is saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3 tells us, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And again, I believe David is relating back to this time when he had to flee there from Achish and all that terrible time. When, you know, I'm sure, you know, what was he to do? It was like he was trapped. But praise the Lord, we serve such a mighty God who knows how to deliver us. And here he's saying, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, let's enlarge the Lord. Let's exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears, all that which nearly happened. God made a way of escape. God heard that cry within David's heart as he sought the Lord, and he was delivered. Praise the Lord. It says they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord allows his light to shine upon our countenance. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, and it's a wonderful thing when, oh, yes, God shines through his people. And, oh, truly, if we are so blessed, oh, yes, we can be those that have heard the joyful sound that also is spoken of in Psalms 89. Oh, the people that know that joyful sound, that sound of salvation. Oh, yes, that the Lord brings to us. Oh, that we can walk in the light of God's countenance. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord leading us by his Spirit. Oh, that light to lighten our path so that we can know the way. Praise the Lord. So, they looked unto him and were lightened. Oh, yes, God made, oh, yes, his way to shine brightly so that they could see what was needed to be done. Their faces were not ashamed. And truly, when we stand in the presence of the Lord, oh, the thing that will matter, oh, yes, when the Lord, God Almighty, appears, is that we are abiding in him. Oh, yes, that we have given our hearts, our lives over to the living God. And oh, yes, so that when he appears, that we can have confidence in his sight and be not ashamed. Oh, yes, because he has come, he has put his light in our very soul. So, yes. One day we can stand before God and not be ashamed. Oh, that light of the countenance of the Lord Jesus Christ shining on our very, in our very being. Praise the Lord. And he says in verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, yes. David is relating to those experiences of his past and all that cry that went up from his very being. But praise the Lord heard him when he cried. And the Lord saved him out of all his troubles, it tells us. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Praise the Lord. Out of the depths David had cried unto the Lord. Oh, and God had heard him. And we could see all these characteristics that were within David's being. Oh, yes, that, you know, that delight in the Lord, those praises that dwelt in his heart, oh, that humility that was within his spirit. His boasting was in the Lord, not in what he had done, not in his own accomplishments. No, it was how God had helped him. God had helped him to kill that giant. God helped David to kill that bear. Oh, yes. That lion that came after the sheep. Praise the Lord. And David rested his boastings in what God had done. How God had helped him. God helped him to escape from Saul again and again and again. And certainly in that passage there in 1 Samuel 21. From the Philistines. Oh yes, from Achish, king of Gath. The Lord helped him to get out of there. Oh, he had sought the Lord, and God had heard him. God had delivered him. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he's telling us here in this 34th Psalm. Oh, yes, that angel of the Lord does encamp around God's people that fear him. And that angel does deliver us. Oh, yes, we can taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, yes, we can magnify the Lord. Oh, yes, oh, we can bless the Lord. That need to fear the Lord, all his saints. For those that fear the Lord, he tells us in verse 9, there's no want to them that fear him. Verse 10 tells us the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Well, that's why we can taste and see. The Lord knows how to supply our needs, even when it seems remote, even when it seems impossible, even when it seems like there's no way of escape. We serve a God who knows how to deliver those that fear Him. And what a blessing it is. He went on to say in verse 11, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good?" And oh, yes, we need to listen here. "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." He declares in verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry." Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that the Lord hears our cries? Oh, we all get into these spots where, you know, we need Him. There is, you know, none other but the Lord that can help us. But praise the Lord, God's eyes are upon His people that serve Him. God's eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are opened unto the cries of His people. But contrary to those that do evil, it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Oh yes, that day when, oh yes, their lives will be cut off, and the remembrance of them even. Oh, people seeing them perhaps for who they really were. But he went on to say in verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And here again we see, oh, some of the reasons that David could be considered a man after God's own heart, because he allowed his heart to be broken. Oh, yes, he was willing to fall upon the rock. And oh, yes, ambitions, emotions, wills, all those things that try to hinder us at times. Oh, there is such a need to turn our lives over completely to Almighty God, to surrender that, to let our hearts be broken, to fall on the rock Christ Jesus. You know, it's quite a thing. Because if we will allow ourselves to be broken, in other words, our spirit, our pride, all those things that separated us from God, to, you know, renounce the sin, to give it over to the Lord, to surrender the heart to the Lord, that's being broken. And praise the Lord when we've got to that place where there's that kind of surrender, where there's that kind of repentance, the Lord can take our life and restore it and build it again. Oh yes, to build a new creature in Christ. Oh, to bring forth somebody who will show forth the praises of our God. And oh yes, we'll walk with the Lord and keep God's commandments and laws within the heart. Praise the Lord. So yes, what a wonder it is. And indeed, David had that kind of heart. Yes, as verse 18 again says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." A contrite spirit is one that feels regret and remorse over the past, over sins, over things that went wrong, that were transgressions against Almighty God. Oh, that's the kind of person, though, that God will regard. It tells us in verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants." And look at this as it ends this chapter. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. All the wonderful blessings of God, all the blessings of God. God doesn't add sorrow. He blesses his people. Many are the troubles and the heartaches that people face, even God's people. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But praise the Lord. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Praise the Lord. We get into these scrapes sometimes and, you know, confusing situations. And sometimes it might be that we have an illness that we can hardly navigate around. And, you know, we might even be dying. But the Lord knows how to help us. Oh, yes, he knows how to deliver us. He knows how to set us free. Oh, yes, and how to help us in such a time. And praise the Lord, I believe that David had that kind of heart. A heart that was readily broken by the hand of God when, yes, there were things that needed to be broken within. And he had that contrite spirit, that willingness, oh yes, to have remorse and sorrow. And it wasn't something that he just made up. I believe it was real over his transgressions, over all those situations with Bathsheba. I believe there was a true sorrow that came from his heart when he realized what he had done and the grief he had caused and the deaths that came about because of it. Let's go to Psalms 51 here, because this also is a Psalm of David, and I believe this is how he felt after he realized what he had done with all that went about with his reaction there with Bathsheba and the things that came to pass because of it. Here he's crying, and I believe this shows the state of his heart at that point. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Oh, here, yes, he's crying, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." And here's the cry, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." He says in verse 14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." You know, it's a wonderful song that the Lord puts in our heart when we realize that he has taken those iniquities away from us, those transgressions, those horrendous things that we had done in our ignorance and in our sin. And praise the Lord, David is realizing all the wonder of it all that wonderful ability of our God to deliver us from all of that. Oh, yes, and he's saying, "Oh, God, Thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Praise the Lord, that song that the redeemed can sing, because we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. But what a song he puts within when we realize that God has delivered us from that blood guiltiness. All those things of the past, things we did in our ignorance, and when our heart was not right with God. Oh, he says in verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, God cannot accept sacrifices until the heart is made right. I believe this is what David realized, oh, the wonder of it all, when his heart was made clean, when, oh, yes, it was purged with hyssop, so to speak, and he was washed, oh, yes, by the atoning power of our Lord and Savior. Oh, yes, our God who is able to take those deeds, those sins, oh, yes, those transgressions, and make us whiter than snow. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the wonder of it all. And, oh, yes, how we can sing forth the praises of our God when we realize that heavy load that was on our back, that sin that, oh, yes, would have sent us to hell, has been taken from us. Praise the Lord. And how we can say the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Oh, yes, he's going to break that spirit of rebellion. Oh, that spirit of sin. All that iniquity. All those things that were separating us from God. But praise the Lord, God does not despise that heart, that individual who is willing to be broken upon the rock, Christ Jesus, who is willing to surrender the heart to God, who is willing to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have sinned, I have caused great trouble, and I need you to forgive me. Oh, our gracious Lord, oh, it's a wonderful thing, a broken and a contrite heart. A heart that's surrendered to God, oh, that gives it all over to the living God. Oh, God, thou wilt not despise. And praise the Lord. We just see so many things. I believe David was one to rejoice in God and to praise the Lord. Oh, he had those praises continually in his mouth, upon his lips, and praise the Lord, the realization of how God had delivered him, not only from his enemies who were running after him, but from his hard heart, from the sins, from the things that separated him from God. Oh, what a wonder it is. And praise the Lord, he knew the Lord creates a clean heart within us. A right spirit. Oh, yes, then. Oh, yes. We will not be cast away from his presence. Oh, he will not take his Holy Spirit from us. And praise the Lord, he restores unto us the joy of our salvation. That joy in knowing that everything is right. That our heart is clean. That we can walk in boldness before the Lord. And praise the Lord, when we stand before him, we won't have to shy away. We won't have to be embarrassed. Oh, we can stand with boldness before the throne of grace, before our God, and know that all is well. Because there was that time when, oh yes, that heart was broken, and we gave it all over to the Lord. And our God, who is so gracious, blotted out those transgressions and forgave us our trespasses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. David found that out. Oh, yes. The wonder of being forgiven. The wonder of being restored. The wonder of being delivered. And praise the Lord, it's available tonight, isn't it? Praise the Lord, there's a song in our heart. If we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, oh yes, if we were willing to be broken in our heart and come to the Lord in repentance. Yes, to go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. Oh yes, with a wonderful promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, David was considered a man after God's own heart. And likewise, we can be that too. We'll just give our hearts to the Lord and let Him rule and reign in our hearts. Praise the Lord to give Him over, give to Him over everything that would separate us from the wonderful love of God. Oh, praise the Lord. David said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, that sin was ever before Him, but God blotted out those transgressions and forgave him that iniquity from his heart." Praise the Lord. That's the wonder of our saving God. That's a wonderful privilege that we have here tonight. Praise the Lord to be creatures that, oh yes, have been forgiven our past, our transgressions, and renewed with the Spirit from on high. Yes, so we can walk with our God. Praise the Lord and be right in His sight when we stand before Him. Praise the Lord. Thank our God for His mercy. Praise the Lord, and we know God is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as are of a contrite spirit. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we worship you, Lord, and ask, oh, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord. Oh, God, that you tug at our hearts, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, that you renew within us, oh, Lord, oh, that saving spirit, Lord. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, Lord Jesus, that we might know you, Lord, and, oh, God, that we might be right in thy sight. Oh, yes, and be cleansed from all iniquity. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books once again and turn to number 5 and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good. Number 5. Something beautiful, something good, all of my Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something
All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.